Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, Yechezkel tells us about his intense vision of the Merkava, of the force that is carrying Hashem's Shechina to Galus. The last pasuk in this Perek told us that Hashem started to speak to Yechezkel. Perek Beis tells us the contents of this speech. The Nevuah begins, Ben Adam, Son of Man, Almod al Raglacha, stand on your feet, Vadaber Osach, and I will speak with you. Throughout this Navi, Hashem addresses Yechezkel as Ben Adam over 90 times, a special title that is reserved only for him. The term is clearly significant. According to Rashi and Mitzvah David, Hashem is bringing Yechezkel back to earth. He was just shown a vision of the Shechina of Sraphim and Ophanim. Hashem wants to remind him that despite seeing visions of angels, he himself is not an angel, and to remain humble. Rav Breuer wrote a masterful work explaining the Sefer Yechezkel, and many of my insights are going to be from his Sefer, as well as from the Sefer written by Rav Moshe Eisenman for Art Scroll, and they both bring beautiful and unique interpretations of this phrase. By being called the son of Adam, Hashem is reminding Yechezkel of the legacy of Adam, the first man. When Adam was created, his job was to bring about the perfection in this world. According to Rav Hirsch, he was supposed to be the Hadom, the footstool of Hashem, the vehicle to bring the Shechina into the world. Adam sinned, and he brought death into the world, and he could no longer fulfill his mission. Hashem chose Avram Avinu to elevate the whole world through his children, the Bnei Yisrael. Throughout Sefer Yechezkel, Bnei Yisrael will be referred to as Adam. They were the nation that was meant to live up to the fullest potential of Adam by bringing themselves and through their efforts the whole world back to the perfection that Adam HaRishon was meant to achieve. Instead, they became like Adam HaRishon. Through their sins, they brought death into the world, and they too will be exiled from their homes. According to the Barbanel, as a son of Adam, as Ben Adam, Yechezkel resembles Adam HaRishon. Both were sent into Galus and both saw their children doomed for destruction because of their sins. They share a tragic history. Rav Breuer reminds us of the hope in this phrase, Ben Adam. Yechezkel is the son not just of the Jewish people. He represents all of humanity as Adam, the collective phrase, in its most exalted form. He is the Navi who describes the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be the realization of that which Adam could have achieved. He can help his nation act like Adam was meant to act and perfect the world. As we hear this phrase throughout the Sefer, it should remind us of Yechezkel, the human being who must remain humble, who had held so much potential, and whose nation held so much for potential, for both good and for the bad that they eventually did, just as we all have that choice. The first thing Hashem says to Yechezkel in this parak is to stand. At the end of the vision of the Masa Merkava, Yechezkel is overwhelmed by the holiness of what he sees, so much so that he falls on his face. Hashem tells him that a Navi needs to have confidence to communicate Hashem's message, and he needs to stand resolute in his truth, not bowing or cowering in front of opposition. Pasuk Beis tells us, "Vatavo bi ruach kasher diber alai." Yechezkel feels a divine presence within, the lowest form of nevuah. And from that inspiration, from that chizuk that comes from within himself, he can stand up before Hashem and communicate with him. In Pasuk Gimel, Hashem goes on to tell him that he is being sent to as a Navi to Bnei Yisrael. In this Pasuk, Bnei Yisrael are described as Goyim Mordim, nations who are rebelling, just as their parents have sinned. The Mefarshim explained that this term, Goyim, is chosen purposefully and is referring to the Shvatim. We know that the Shvatim all belong. There are only two Shvatim left. They are Yehuda and Binyamin, and they belong to one nation. Why then are they being called nations? What it is teaching us is that the Bnei Yisrael at this point had no connection one to the other. They were made up of groups. This group served the Baal, this group served Amon, this group had that craze, and they were constantly at odds with each other. It's a tragic phrase because Bnei Yisrael were meant to be a nation that was supposed to be a confederacy of many different parts. They were called Kahal Goyim, a community of nations. that were supposed to be Kohanim, and farmers, and businessmen, artists, and each group was supposed to contribute its best. Instead, here they're just a nation that the only common thread they have between them is that they're Goyim Mardim, they're rebelling against Hashem. Pasuk Dalet. This pasuk tells us that the children are hard-faced and stiff-hearted, and Hashem is sending Yechezkel to speak to this nation. And what is he supposed to say? He says, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. Hashem tells Yechezkel to use the name of Hashem, the Shem Adnos, which means my master, and then they use the name of Hashem Havaya, but this name of Hashem is supposed to be pronounced Elokim. Generally, the four-letter name of Hashem means compassion. The name Elohim means din, judgment. Here, the name that means compassion is meant to be pronounced as judgment. This is a phrase that's going to be used throughout the parak and throughout the Navi, in fact. What this combination of names means is that Yechezkel is going to be going to Bnei Israel and saying, I am the messenger of the master of the universe, who is going to be acting with you in judgment, but it's based in a love that he has for you. At this point, Yechezkel hears he's supposed to go to this nation who's rebellious. He's supposed to give them a message, and he's going to have a number of objections. They're not going to listen to him. They're going to attack him. So Hashem responds to those objections preemptively. Pasuk Hevav in Zion, he tells Yechezkel that even though Bnei Yisrael are not going to listen to them, Vehema im yishmu vim yachdalu, whether or not they actually listen to you, that's immaterial. That doesn't matter. Ki beis merihem, I know they're rebellious. I know they're a rebellious house. And even in Pasuk Zion, he goes on to say, Himri hema. Not only are they a rebellious house, at this point, they embody rebelliousness. They are rebellion. They're not even, I can't even say that they're people who are rebellious. They are rebellion in themselves. There's no whitewashing this. And I know they're not going to listen to you. Whether or not they listen to you, there's a value that's to be had by speaking to them. What's the value? In Pasuk Hey, V'yadu ki Navi haya besocham. They need to know that there was a Navi, there was a messenger of Hashem who came to them. After the punishments are meted out to them, and after they have a chance to reflect on what has happened, Hashem wants to make sure they have no more excuses. If they didn't have a Navi, they would say, well, had somebody actually come and talked to us, maybe we would have changed. But Hashem's going to tell them, look, and they're going to tell themselves, a Navi was there telling us we need to introspect and think about what we did. How can we change? How can we improve? Because obviously Hashem tried everything and nothing worked. And Hashem tells Yechezkel, don't be scared in Pasuk Vav of their looks and the fact, don't be afraid of them. They're more interested in rebelling than they are of going after you. In Pasuk Ches, Hashem now warns Yechezkel, and he tells him that although he's living in a rebellious nation, he shouldn't learn from the people that he's living with to act like them. It's very hard not to get influenced by our surroundings, so Hashem's giving him a warning not to even contemplate going there. We know that it's very hard for a Navi to give such a negative message to people he loves. Yonah ran away so he wouldn't have to talk to in some way, make the people of Tarshish look better than Bnei Yisrael. Here Yechezkel has to go to Bnei Yisrael and tell them that Hashem is about to destroy him. It's a very hard message to deliver. So Hashem warns him, Al tehi meri kaves meri. Don't act like that. Don't even think about rebelling against me and not fulfilling your mission. And what is that mission? Pasuk Ches ends with a very strange request. Tzei picha ve'achol es asher ani nosein elecha. Open your mouth and eat that which I am about to give to you. Pasuk Tes describes how Yechezkel receives from Hashem a Megillat Sefer, a scroll. And so Hashem is telling Yechezkel, eat this scroll. Throughout Sefer Yechezkel, Hashem is going to give Yechezkel many strange requests. In this pasuk in particular, Rashi and Mitzvah David take this request to eat a Megillah that Hashem is giving him to be a metaphor. Hashem is not telling him to literally eat the Megillah. Rather, he is supposed to act like what eating represents. The Radzak says that this request to eat the Megillah actually happened as part of the vision. What Hashem is telling Yechezkel is that he's about to get a very negative message for Bnei Yisrael, and he's going to want to deny it with all of his being. But that can't happen. He needs to eat this message. He needs to accept it and make it a part of who he is so that he can communicate it and he can understand it and he could accept the finality of it so that he can come to Bnei Yisrael and say, this is not changing, and not him or Hedges bets. He must become one with this negative message. And Rav Breuer says that in Pasuk Tes, that this Megillat Sefer, which is going to start in Pasuk Yud and continue for the next three Pesukim into Parak Gimel, is the essence of what our Nevuah is going to be about in this whole Sefer. And what is that Nevuah? Vayefros osa lefanai, he spreads out this Megillah before me. Vihik suva panim v'achor, and on it was written on the front and the back, which is very uncommon for scrolls in those days. V'chasuve laha kinim v'hege v'hi. So on the surface, what Yechezkel is getting from Hashem is just going to be a series of lamentation, woe, and grief, expressions of grief about what is about to happen to Bnei Israel. Rashi adds another dimension, which Rav Breuer expands into a message of inspiration. Rashi explains these three words, kinim v'hege v'hi, differently. He says, what is kinim? Kinim are paranas shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. This is the suffering of tzadikim in this world. When we look around the world, since the time of the gullus, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, good people have suffered and been tortured. The sickness, the illness, all stems from this destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's happening in this world. That is our kinim. We have Echa, we sit on Tisha B'Av, we mourn all these tragedies that have befallen us, all the death and separation that has happened, all the emotional pain, all the physical pain, all the spiritual pain that has happened. That is the pranas, that is the punishment of tzaddikim in this world. The Hege, instead of saying that it's moaning, Rashi says, this is matan tzcharan shirarnu alav lasim lavo. These are what the reward that tzaddikim will sing over in Olam Haba. Rav Hirsch explains that the word hege means contemplation. When we think about all the suffering that we have experienced in the kinim, in the galut, we realize that there is a destiny to which all this suffering is leading. It's leading to a place where the tzaddikim will be receiving reward, and we're going to sing and say az yashir, then we will sing. The final word, vahi, it's tales of woe. Who is that woe directed at? Rashi says, this is the woes of the Rishatim La'olam Haba. Even though they look in this world and they feel that they're riding on the top of the world, in truth, in the world to come, they're going to be having a tale of woe. Rav Breuer looks at this pasuk and he says, yes, we have kinim, we have galus, we have pain. Mankind is going to be cruel to tzaddikim throughout galus, but it's leading somewhere. It's leading to hege v'hi. It's leading to a place where the tzaddikim are being rewarded and rishatim are being punished. In this perek, the name of Hashem is written as Elohim. We may be receiving justice, but coming from a source of compassion is for our own good. We started the perek describing Yechezkel as Ben Adam, the son of Adam HaRishon. We have within ourselves the potential for both greatness and failure. We could fulfill the perfection of the universe as Adam could have, or we could fail and sin and be sent into exile. At the end of this parak, we see that actually, Hashem is never going to let us fail. It's not an option. Hashem's never going to reject us entirely. He will push us that we rebuild ourselves into the right kind of Adam so that he can ultimately reward the tzaddikim and punish the rasha'im as it is meant to be. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.